open your Bible to Luke, chapter number 19. We're going to look at the first 10 verses. We're going to look at Zacchaeus. We don't have time, but if you familiar with it, at the end of chapter 18, we see blind Bartimaeus coming to Christ and looking for Christ. And so the point that I want to make is we could see the contrast between the two men. You have one on each end of the spectrum. You have blind Bartimaeus, who's poor, he's a beggar. That's a picture of us being spiritually blind before salvation. Amen. We're spiritually blind. The Bible says that we walk in darkness, just we haven't been spiritually enlightened yet. And then you go to the other end of the spectrum, and we see Zacchaeus, who was rich and successful and things like that. And the point is that no matter what end of the you're on, whether you're like blind Bartimaeus, lowly and poor, whether you're rich, it's successful, everybody needs the Lord, amen. Everybody needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we're like blind Bartimaeus, we're blind, we spiritually can't see, we have an obstacle that separates us from God, and that's our sin, amen. Our personal sin separates us from God, and it's just, thank God for that miracle of Christ, amen. Shedding his blood, dying for us, so that we can have forgiveness and be reconciled to God. In the case of Zacchaeus was too short, amen, to see Jesus. We'll see in the story, he had to climb up a tree. But the Bible tells us that we all fall short, amen. We all come short of the glory of God. And so every man, woman, boy, or girl needs the Lord Jesus Christ. And at some point in our life, we have to make that free will decision that we're going to trust Christ as our Savior, amen. Going to church doesn't save you. Reading the Bible doesn't save you. We do those things because we're saved, not to get saved. Amen. Some of the examples we have in the Bible of people that were religious. In Luke chapter number 4, the Bible talks about a man that's in the synagogue. He's in church. He knows Jesus is the Son of the Most High. And the Bible says that he had a spirit of a devil, amen, unclean spirit. He needed the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the Ethiopian eunuch. He traveled 1,200 miles to go to church, amen, to go to Jerusalem, to bring that yearly sacrifice, and couldn't even go in the church because he was a eunuch. And so he traveled 1,200 miles to bring his offering, to represent his country, bring his offering, and then drive back 1,200 miles, never able to go in. And then when he was riding back, he was reading his Bible. But he was lost. Amen? He was lost. And then the Lord sent Philip, the evangelist, and said, hey, go up next to that chariot. And he pulled up next to the chariot, and that eunuch was in there reading Isaiah 53. Amen. And Philip, the evangelist, amen, asked him, do you know what you're reading? He said, how can I know unless someone tells me? And he says, was this man, Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. And he said, is he talking about himself or somebody else? And then Philip told him it was Jesus, amen, and the sacrifice he made, and he got saved. So just going to church doesn't make you saved. Reading your Bible doesn't make you saved, amen. If you were born on a beach, it wouldn't make you a boat, amen. You need and the same thing. You can grow up in church, and sometimes I think the kids that grow up in church have sometimes the hardest time, sometimes pastors' kids and deacons' kids and things like that, because they've been around it since they were babies, and they're still better off, amen, than the ones that aren't. And when you get saved, you should be thankful that your parents did bring you to church, amen. But sometimes those are the hardest ones, because they know everything. They know Jesus died, but it's all head knowledge, amen. And so every one of us, there has to be a day where you trusted Christ as your Savior. And then the things you do, whether it's going to church, whether it's reading your Bible, whether it's soul winning, whether it's singing, amen, whatever it is, you do that stuff because you're saved, not to get saved, amen. Otherwise, that'd be works. And the Bible tells us that it's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but it's according to his mercy, he saves us, amen. Because like Zacchaeus, we all fall short, amen. And so the point I'm trying to make here today is that both of these men, one on each end of the spectrum, needed the Lord Jesus Christ, and everybody in between needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Zacchaeus was Jewish, amen. His name tells us he's Jewish. His name means pure, amen. That's kind of funny. His name means pure. He's Jewish, and we can tell that also because the Lord refers to him as a son of Abraham. Amen. And so, anyways, let's read chapter number 19. We'll begin. We'll read verse 1 to 10. And the Bible says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." Amen. He was some sort of superintendent or manager over all the other tax collectors. Amen. They were all considered corrupt. They all served Rome and kept the Jewish people in bondage. And so tax collectors were not well liked. And they were usually wealthy. It says in verse number 3, it says, "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press," because of the crowd, "because he was little of stature." He was short. "And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way." In verse number 5, the Bible says, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down." Look what it says, "and received him joyfully." Verse 7, it says, "And when he saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner." That's probably the self-righteous crowd, amen, that saw Jesus with going to Zacchaeus' house. In verse 8, it says, "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Amen. And so, being Jewish, he understood the Old Testament law of restitution. Amen. You're supposed to give back double. He said, "I'll give back fourfold." And then in verse number 9, it says, "And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham." And verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Amen. And so let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, we do appreciate your goodness, your blessings. Thank you for your mercy, your love. And we especially especially thank you for your word, God. We thank you for the scriptures that you preserve for us. We thank you, God, that they guide us, they instruct us in the ways of salvation, in the way we should live, our conduct, our lifestyles. We just thank you, God, for saving us, dwelling in us, and then giving us a book and a spirit, God, to help us to do the things that be pleasing to you. And we just commit this time into your hands now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So anyway, so we see the story, and again, we're looking at the contrast here, amen, between blind Bartimaeus crying out, looking for the Lord, and in his case, they told him to be quiet, amen. And then we see Zacchaeus, when the Lord begins to deal with him, folks were critical of that too, amen. And that's one of the things that we'll look at in a minute, but again, in verse number 2, the first thing we notice about Zacchaeus is his social position. He's the chief of the publicans. He's very rich. Amen. He had people under him. He was some sort of superintendent or manager over other tax collectors. And he was hated by his brethren. Amen. The Jews did not like the Jews that were tax collectors, amen, because that helped strengthen Rome again and help them to have their rule over the Jewish people. So this man was not someone that was looked kindly on. But the thing we notice, amen, and that's the thing that all of us, amen, the Bible says that there's none that seek after God, amen. There's none righteous. There's none that seek after God. And so in our lives, when a time comes where we begin to have affections and interests in the things of God, the Spirit of God is dealing with us, amen, trying to point us in the right direction. And so we see in verse number 3 the desire of Zacchaeus. It says that he sought to see Jesus, who he was, amen. And Jesus was making a big uproar at the time. A lot of people had heard of him. People heard he was doing miracles. A lot of crowds would follow him, amen. He had a sort of a celebrity thing going on where people were curious. And the case here of Zacchaeus, amen, that he sought to see Jesus, amen. And so he didn't just hear about him being in Jerusalem and the different towns going through Jericho, Capernaum, wherever he went, amen. He had an inner feeling, a desire that he wanted to know more, amen. He was moved by deeper feelings, more than just the curiosity. He was more than just a sightseer. You know, he didn't want to just see what was the ruckus, amen. And so there was some longing inside of him that wanted to make that personal acquaintance with Christ. And that's the difference between having Bible knowledge and head knowledge and knowing him in a personal way. When you trust him as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that the devils believe in God and they tremble, amen. And so it doesn't just knowing Jesus, I mean, he's a historical figure. There's historical proof that he was a real person, but that doesn't save anybody, amen. It's when you look at him and you realize that you're a sinner and there's something inside of you that is separating you from God, and the only way that can be taken care of is by putting your faith in what he did on that cross, amen. And you make it, instead of a head knowledge, it's a heart knowledge, amen. And so the old Baptist used to say there's 18 inches between heaven and hell, amen, from here to here, and having head knowledge about it and trusting him and accepting him in your heart, amen. And so so it's so important for us to know that there was a day, just like Zacchaeus, there was a certain day he climbed a tree because he couldn't see. He was looking to know Christ and see Christ in a better way than just hearing about him and knowing about him. Amen. And that same thing with us. We have to know that there was a time and a day where you put your faith in Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. And it goes from being a head knowledge to a heart knowledge. It goes from just recognizing that there was a God to knowing him in a personal way. Amen. That's the key, right? That's why Pastor says it's not about a religion. It's about a relationship. Amen. Every one of us, there was a day you could look back on. And I don't even care if you remember the day, if you remember the date, that doesn't matter. But you know in your heart there was a day where you recognized that you needed Christ and you trusted him as your Lord and Savior. Amen. There needs to be that time. Just like there's a specific day, Zacchaeus can look back and say, I remember I climbed up the tree. We're going to see in a minute Christ called out to me and I received him. Blind Bartimaeus, there was a day where he heard Christ was passing by. He called out to him. Amen. And Christ dealt with him. And so there has to be that time. Amen. Just knowing about these things does not save anyone. Amen. It's that personal relationship. And so Zacchaeus had a desire. Amen. In verse number 3, the Bible says that he sought to see Jesus. Amen. Who he was. Amen. And then it goes on in verse number 3, and we see the difficulty that he had. Amen. It says in verse number 3, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. It says, and he could not for the press. Amen. The crowd, and because he was little of stature. And those are two of the things that affect all of us. Spiritually speaking, we all fall short, as I said. None of us can reach God. None of us can get to God, amen, by overstepping the cross, by bystepping what Christ. I mean, when you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, the suffering, I mean, that he went through on that cross, I mean, the beatings that he went through, the whippings that he went through, I mean, none of the artist renderings of Christ, you know, with a little drip of blood coming from the crowns and stuff. I mean, the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 52 that he was beat beyond recognition, amen. Said that he was marred and disfigured by the beatings that he took. And for him to have to hang on that cross, amen, and shed that precious blood, because that was the only sacrifice that God would accept so that we could be saved. There's no way that God is going to let anybody bystep that and get saved. And so the important thing is we need to trust Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen. There's no way you're going to get to heaven and God's going to go, oh, you read your Bible? Oh, you went to church? Yeah, we'll let him in. You know, I'm a good guy. I love everybody. You know, it's not going to happen. Amen. You're not going to overstep that cross and that crucified Savior and get to heaven. There has to be a day, amen, that you trusted Christ. You made a free will decision, amen, an intelligent decision, which it is. It's intelligent, amen, because when you put off trusting Christ as your Savior, you're gambling with where you're going to spend eternity, amen, and that's dangerous, because our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little while, and it vanishes, amen. And so he had the difficulty of the falling short, just like all of us. And then he had the difficulty of the press, of the crowd. And that happens to us, amen. Sometimes people hold back because they know their family's going to ridicule them. Or in some cases, families will disown somebody that changes a religion, amen. We've heard stories of Jewish folks believing in Christ and their family throw their stuff out and have a funeral for that person. And we know people that have left the Catholic Church, and some of their Catholic family will oppose what they did, amen. And so the indifference of others, but at the end of the day, the most important thing is if the Lord speaks to your heart and he's telling you, you need to be saved, amen. There's a spot in all of our hearts, amen. There's a hole, a spot that was made by God for God. That's it, amen. Nothing else can replace it. Nothing else can fill it. And that's how we get saved, amen, by trusting Christ as our Savior. And so, and again, even as saints, amen, how many of us as saints, we've trusted Christ as a, and sometimes it's members of your own family that'll try it. I remember, I love my wife's family, and they all finally got the picture. But when we first got married, it seemed like every Sunday, they planned something. And every Sunday, we would say, we're going to church. And they were, oh, well, can't you just skip church, you know? And the bottom line is, you know what, if you're saved today and you do serve the Lord, they're going to say you're a fanatic. And if you don't serve the Lord, they're going to say you're a hypocrite. So we might as well be fanatics, amen, because you can't win with lost people, amen. And as much as we love our family members, and they're acting out of ignorance, but they would. I mean, I swear they would go behind the scenes. A cousin that we hardly ever see all of a sudden has some great event that's going on for auntie that nobody can miss, you know, and we'd be like, well, we'll be there at two. And finally, after as the years went on, they realized we weren't going to skip, but the crowd was trying to pressure us to, you know, we made the step when we got saved. Then, of course, what's the next thing? The devil don't want you to serve God, amen. And so now they know. And so Zacchaeus had the problem here of the crowd. And I guess the only thing I can tell anybody is we just stuck to our guns. And eventually now they'll plan something and they'll be like, well, we can't do it. You know, Mike and Kathy go to church, you know, we'll set it up for 3 o'clock, you know, and now they'll take into consideration because they know it's been 31 years, amen. So they finally realize they're not going to miss, you know. And I mean, we'll miss for weddings or something, you know, if we have to, but you know what I'm saying, amen. And so Zacchaeus had them two difficulties, amen. They always try to, the press and the crowd, amen, sometimes will hold us back. And so if it's holding you back from salvation, you know what? Get saved and trust the Lord, amen. Let him work out all the details. Once you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become his child, amen. You become his, just like our children. They're our responsibility, amen. And the same thing with us. We get saved, we become Jesus, God's responsibility, amen. And let trust him and let him work out all the details. I will share something that most of you know. It was 1988, I don't even know how many years ago that was, 30, so in 1985 actually, I got saved in prison, and I was scared, and I put it off a bunch of times. I was under horrible conviction. I remember reading the Bible and crying and throwing the Bible, telling God to leave me alone, and I'm thank God he didn't. I'm so thankful he didn't, and the conviction, because of the crowd, because of the people I was around, I was afraid they're going to see me get saved and they're going to gang up on me and think I'm weak, you know, and things like that. And it didn't work for long, but I said, you know what, God, I'll get saved. I will trust you. And God worked out every detail of any, you know, beef that I had with anybody or anything going on. All of a sudden somebody come up to me and they'd be like, hey, everybody keeps saying me and you got a beef. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, I don't even know what it's for. And I was like, me either. Let's be friends. And they'd be like, okay. You know, and I mean, just wait to the, you know, somebody that wants to beat you up and cut your head off. I mean, you know, we're talking about the penitentiary. We're not talking about the playground, you know. And God would, he worked out everything. And man, I would go to church and guys that sneak up with no one knowing and ask me questions about God and stuff. But the peer pressure there was brutal. And so I understand. And so, but if you're here today and you never trusted Christ, you know what? Don't let that peer pressure hold you back. Amen. And keep you from trusting Christ. You get saved, you become his responsibility. Amen. And he'll work out things for you. Amen. And so we saw the obstacles that Zechariah had. I'm trying to hurry up. Time went by fast. Verse number four, I thought you guys were moving fast, Steve. I was like, wow, they already sang two songs. And Pastor usually gives long announcements. And I was like, hopefully I don't get done too early. But I'll be done in a few minutes, amen. And so the thing that we saw, and this goes along with it, is in spite of the difficulties that Zacchaeus had, amen, falling short, amen, the crowd trying to hold him back, amen, we saw his determination in verse 4. Look what it says. It says, and he ran before, amen. I mean, he was running, amen, and he was going to put effort into it. He was climbing a tree, amen. He was going to see the Lord. And so if God deals with your heart concerning salvation or concerning to serve him, amen, just run to it, amen. Allow God to take responsibility for you. And so he ran and climbed, amen, and he did excuse me, what it took for him to reach the Lord, amen, and he wasn't going to stop, and that's all I can say is if God speaks to your heart and he you need to be saved, or he speaks to your heart and you need to dedicate yourself to serve him and live for him, maybe you've just been wishy-washy or something, amen, just jump in, amen. Like the song, come on in, the water's fine, amen. So we see him put that effort into it, and then in verse number 5, we see the Lord, amen, call down to him. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, amen. Jesus saw him, and when that person, that man, woman, boy, or girl is seeking after God and looking towards having spiritual affections and spiritual inclinations and things like that, God sees that, amen, and he's going to meet you, and he's going to address those things for you, amen. And so we see that in the case here, amen, where Zacharias was looking, and the Lord called him down, amen, and God always blesses us above and beyond that we can think, amen, or that we can imagine, and it's the best life that anyone can have, amen, is the life of a Christian, amen. And I couldn't even picture not having a church family, not having kids that were saved. Now we pray for our grandkids. I mean, there's nothing better than the Christian family, amen, the family of God that we have and that we sing about. And so the Lord tells him to come down. In verse number 6, we see his obedience. Amen. In verse number 6, it says, and he made haste, Zacchaeus made haste, came down. And look what it says, and received him joyfully. Amen. The Bible says, for as many as receive him, to them gave he the power, amen, a power to be called the sons of God, amen, or the children of God, the daughters of God, amen. You receive him, and how do you receive something? You just accept it, amen. You accept it by faith. The Bible says you need Jesus, that you're a sinner, and you, by faith, you say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Most of us don't need to be convinced that we're sinners. I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, amen. I mean, I don't think anybody, no matter how good of a life you lived, you could consider yourself being pure as the driven snow, amen, and that you don't need, you never sinned, amen, and need Christ. And so for as many as received him, and he received him joyfully, amen. He responded when the Lord called, amen. That was one of the things that scared me. I felt like I got to a point where the Lord was dealing with me and wooing me, the Spirit, and I felt like if I didn't receive him, if I kept going on, I felt like I was gonna miss the day of grace, you know? I didn't know if I was going to seal my fate. And God was going to say, well, all right then, you're on your own, and who knows where I'd be now, you know, and that's a scary thought for that to happen, amen. And so that time, that day, again, that you called upon the Lord, amen, there was no excuses. You called upon him, he called out to you, you called upon him, and you got saved. And then in verse 7 to 10, we'll look at real quick. It says, and when they saw it, they all murmured, amen, etc. We'll skip down to verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, amen, for as much as he is a son of Abraham. And many times when that one person or that one member of your family gets saved, we see others get saved, amen. My brother and my sister were saved before me. They were witnessing to me. Then somebody that I knew, an acquaintance, started witnessing to me. It was like I was getting a friendly mash put on me or something. And I was like, man, you know. And but you can't resist. And when salvation comes to your house, amen, many times can spread. And the reason, again, is for verse number 10, it tells us, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And then if you go down after on your own, you can read that story where he talks about giving, he tells him in verse 13, his servants to occupy till I come. And so if you're saved here today, you know you had that day you trusted Christ, then the Lord wants us to occupy. He wants us to serve, amen. He wants us to be witnesses. And I love this time of year. I love the holidays. I love Christmas because so many people are more open at this time. Amen. And it's a good time for Christians to take advantage of it. Amen. We can invite folks to the cantata that might not go to church. You have those little opportunities and things like that. You might have an opportunity where you can speak to someone in your family, as I think Kathy said that, during get-togethers. Amen. And so if you, if you've trusted Christ, then you know you're saved. Amen. Then, and maybe you've just been slack, amen, on your duties. Amen. Then it's a good time for us to recommit ourselves to the Lord, amen, and ask God to help us maybe to look for those opportunities that might arise where we can speak to someone or talk to someone and take advantage of the holidays, amen, and let them, because everybody loves the baby Jesus, amen, don't they? They love the baby Jesus. Jesus was born, this is Christmas, we get to eat, we got days off, we get presents, I mean, and so they like it for the wrong reasons, amen. I mean, they're not necessarily wrong, but we all like the eating and the presents and everything too, I think, amen, I do, and so I love presents, amen, just for your information. No, I'm just kidding. And I'll go buy myself presents just to make sure I get presents. Enough. I like to have enough, you know. I'm just kidding. But anyways, amen. But take advantage of this time, amen, where we can serve the Lord, amen. He's given us the most important information. The best gift we could ever give anybody is a little tract that might take them 5 minutes to read and change their life, amen, and change their destiny, where they're going to spend eternity, amen. God gave us the authority to do that for him, amen. The Bible says we speak in his stead, amen. He's not here. We speak in his stead, amen. He's given us that authority, He's given us the most important message, important information that can be relayed to anybody, amen. He's given it to us, so it's important for us. If you know you're saved, then you can serve him, amen. We're responsible for this generation of sinners, amen. It's that simple. Anyways, we're going to close. I'm going to close in prayer, and you're going to sing, and you're going to play. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do love you, appreciate your goodness to us. We do thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that great sacrifice that he made. We thank you that you saved sinners. We thank you that you're still in the business saving sinners, God. And we just thank you that you're mindful of us, and we do just thank you that you give us your word to instruct us and guide us and correct us and exhort us, and just pray now, God. I just pray now, thanking you for the service today, and I just pray if there's any here today that have never trusted you as their Lord and Savior, they don't really know that specific time where they called upon you, and Lord, I pray they'd settle that. Pray they'd speak to someone they feel comfortable with afterwards. And for us saints, God, I just pray that we'd make a resolution now to take advantage of the holiday season that's coming up and not wait till New Year's, God, and we could be used by you, and we could share that message, and that we'd be mindful that people are perishing, as the Bible says. And so, God, we just thank you for your goodness. Pray now you would just do what you would with the rest of the service. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.